श्री चैतन्य चरित बीता मध्य लीला चैप्टर सिक्स एंटाइटल्ड द लिबरेशन ऑफ सार्वभौम भट्टाचार्य. So there are several texts before the text on the board. So we're going to read from text 121 up to 126, and then we'll do 127, which is on the board, together. Text 121. Vedanta Shravanae Sanyasira Dharma Nirantara Karatumi Vedanta Shravana. The Bhattacharya said, hearing Vedanta philosophy is a sannyasi's main business. Therefore, without hesitation, you should study Vedanta philosophy, hearing it without cessation from a superior person. Text 122. Prabhu kahe mora tumi kara anugraha sehi se kartavya tumi yehi mora kaha. Lord Chaitanya replied, you are very merciful to me. Therefore, I think it is my duty to obey your order. Text 123. Satadina pariyanta aiche karena shravane bala mandana ikahe vasa matra sune. Thus, for 7 days continually, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu listened to the Vedanta philosophy expounded by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. However, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not say anything and did not indicate whether it was right or wrong. He simply sat there and listened to the Bhattacharya. Text 124. Astama divase tanre puche sarvabhauma satadina kari tumi vedanta shravana. On the 8th day, Sarvabhauma said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you have been listening to Vedanta philosophy from me continually for 7 days. Text 125. Bala mandana ikaha raha mona dari bujha ki na bujha iha bujhite na pari. You have simply been listening, fixed in your silence. Since you did not say whether you think it is right or wrong, I cannot know whether you are actually understanding Vedanta philosophy or not. Text 126. Prabhu kahe murka ami nahi adhyayana tomara agyate matra kariye shravana. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, I am a fool and consequently I do not study the Vedanta Sutra. I am just trying to hear it from you because you have ordered me. Text 127, we can say together. Sanyasira Dharma Lagi Shravana Matra Kari Tumi dharma lagi shravana matra kare
sanyasya Sutra or Brahma Sutra,
but he did not approve the Sarirakha Bhashya or the Sarirakha commentary of Sankaracharya. Indeed, he said elsewhere, Mayavadi Bhashya Sunila Haya Savanash. If one hears the Sarirakha Bhashya of Sankaracharya, he is doomed. Thus a sannyasi, a transcendentalist, must read the Vedanta Sutra regularly, but he should not read the Sarirakha Bhashya. This is the conclusion of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The real commentary on the Vedanta Sutra is Srimad Bhagavatam, Artoyam Brahma Sutranam. Srimad Bhagavatam is the original commentary on the Vedanta Sutra written by the author himself, Srila Vyasadeva. It is generally instructed and followed by Vaishnavas that one should not hear from impersonalists or Mayavadis. Here we find that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being no different from Krishna himself, is hearing from Savabhama Bhattacharya, is hearing Vedanta philosophy. We find that the impersonalism of Mayavadis, especially here in relation to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu allowed him to first do some service for him. In other words, we can preach to impersonalists, but we have to also at the same time, you could say, trick them into rendering some devotional service. We have to trick them. We find that when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became unconscious in ecstasy due to love for Krishna in the Jagannath temple, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya unknowingly did some service. The security man or the guard in the Jagannath temple, he thought this is a madman. And he wanted to beat Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and throw him out of the temple. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is, in one sense, you know, appears to be a logician on Vedanta philosophy. At the same time, what is he doing in the Jagannath temple? And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is very much attached to Jagannath Mahaprasad. He loves Jagannath Mahaprasad. So he appears to be sort of a devotee internally, but externally he appears to be, you know, involved in the goal of monism. One word, impersonalism, monism. So immediately, because of his stature as a learned scholar, he was well known in Jagannath Puri. And because of his being well known and being influential as a scholar, like that, the guard could understand that this is an important personality, and he's well known. So he immediately stopped the guard who was about to beat Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, acting like a madman, and now is unconscious right there. Such ignorance, the security guard was in. So he stopped him. And on top of that, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya purified the god by telling him, now you assist me in carrying this transcendental body, in carrying this body to my home. So the god actually carried, instead of beating, carried, helped to carry Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's transcendental form to the home of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And later on, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to external consciousness, at the same time, all knowing, in his ecstasy, in being unconscious, he allowed Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya to do some service. That, you know, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya took care of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he knew that symptoms of a very great personality is in the person of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and therefore he fell unconscious. Somehow he knew about the symptoms of ecstasy, which is generally not well known to the Indians. So it appears Sarvabhauma knew Vedanta philosophy, and he also knew the process of devotional service, although he was not practicing it. But yet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu indirectly allowed him to do some service. So he carried Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by the help of the god to his home, and situated him comfortably, and so forth like that. And on top of that, he ordered for the Jagannath Prasadam, Mahaprasadam, to come. And when the devotees finally found that the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was unconscious in Sarvabhauma's home, they came and chanted the holy names, and he came back to consciousness. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he came back to consciousness, he sincerely and seriously appreciated the service of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, that he took care of him. And he also, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, arranged to feed the Vaishnavas, like Mukunda Datta and Gopinathacharya. And he had a good connection. He had a good connection in the form of Gopinathacharya, who was his brother-in-law. He had a good connection in the form of a devotee, like that. So in other words, even somebody who is an impersonalist and is friendly to the devotees, and he offers some service indirectly to the devotees, not knowing that he's doing devotional service, can also become a devotee in that sense. But one has to be careful. One has to still be careful with Mayapanis and so forth. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, out of affection for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, saw that he was a sannyasi, but at the same time he had a very youthful body. He was young. He was 24 years of age, very young. So Sarvabhauma, out of maternal or fatherly affection, like that, expressed, to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And again he's doing some service, and Mahaprabhu allowed him to do that. That, you are a young sannyasi, but at the same time, do you know Vedanta philosophy to actually become fully renounced? To actually become fully renounced. Now note, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was doing this out of a affection, care and protecting him as a sannyasi. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted that more, that he is like my father. He wants to protect me as a sannyasi and he wants to educate me in renunciation principles so that I maintain my sannyas order. Because as a young sannyasi, still the mind and senses of a young man can be agitated. So he wants to fix me in renunciation. Get me fixed up in renunciation. So we find that internally Mahaprabhu accepted the service of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And he allowed him to speak Vedanta philosophy in these verses for 7 days continually. And he was a very submissive but silent hearer or listener, like that. So then these verses are there, that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he did not get any indication from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu due to his silence, whether he understood or not. And then Mahaprabhu finally tells him, out of being as a sannyasi, I was submissive in hearing. But actually, I do not understand anything what you are saying. Like that. Now Mahaprabhu is using some methodology of preaching here. Some methodology of preaching. Like if you hear somebody for continually for 7 days, and naturally they start asking you a question. You know, have you understood what I said? And you say you didn't understand anything. So the person will speak no more. He won't speak anymore. Like that. So out of the etiquette of allowing himself to be hearing Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he won over Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya to be submissive to him. To be submissive to him. So generally a Mayavadi or impersonalist, they just speak. They just speak and they expect you to absorb what they are speaking. It's a one-way thing. But Mahaprabhu used that methodology of, okay, I will hear you, now it's time for you to hear me. It's time for you to hear me. At the same time, acknowledging his devotional service, unknowingly to him. So this come to this point now, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will actually transform the consciousness of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Eventually he'll transform him into accepting devotional service. Like that. So, at the same time, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that although Sarvabhauma spoke of Vedanta philosophy, Prabhupada said that a sannyasi is allowed to hear Vedanta, but is not allowed to hear the commentary on Vedanta philosophy by Sankaracharya, Sarirakapasya. He's not allowed to hear that. So in other words, for us, what is Vedanta? What is Srimad Bhagavatam? So Srimad Bhagavatam is the commentary on Vedanta Sutra. It's the last word of the Absolute Truth for us. Whereas Sarirakabhasya is also a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. But we don't accept that commentary. We accept the commentary of Srimad Bhagavatam on the Vedanta Sutra. So Prabhupada said we should actually follow that. The word Vedanta is clearly understood as Veda means knowledge and Anta means the end or conclusion of all knowledge. The end or conclusion of all knowledge. But as we know, if somebody is knowledgeable for the sake of accumulating knowledge, is known as a jnani. Like that. But then jnani can be transformed into a jnana yogi. And then ultimately he can come to devotional service. And he also comes to devotional service through a process of jnana misra bhakti. So in other words, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was not really a jnani, neither a jnana yogi, because that's the stages you come to be purified. Jnani, then jnana yogi, and a jnana misra bhakti, and then fully bhakti. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was involved in being a jnana misra bhakta. He unknowingly engaged him in service to himself by falling unconscious. And then he took care of him. And he also fed the Vaishnavas, Jagannatha Mahaprasad. So these are special personalities. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And Srila Prabhupada, you know, he initiated a disciple and he called him, "Your name is Sarvabhauma Das. You are a servant of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who became a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya, although previously he was involved in dry speculation and philosophy, being a scholar and logician." Like that. So these are great devotees internally, but playing the parts under the Lila Shakti, or past the importance of the Lord, to have us learn lessons from them. Okay. Do you have any comments or questions? It can be comments or questions even in general, not necessarily what we discussed today.
Prabhupada is mentioning that a sannyasi should read Vedanta Sutra. And you told that Vedanta Sutra's direct commentary is Srimad Bhagavatam. But generally, if you have commentary, we tend to refer to what verses the commentary is from. So, how that would be? As Bhagavad Gita verses, commentary is there. Then, if Vedanta Sutra verses are known, then you can understand properly.
Prabhupada says the real commentary on the Vedanta Sutra is Srimad Bhagavatam. That is sufficient for us.
We don't need
the Prabhupada also says in the nectar of devotion, so you should not read too many books to become jnani or scholar. We should come to the conclusion of Vedanta. Vedanta. What's the conclusion? Bhakti, devotion, service. And devotion service is full in every page of Srimad Bhagavatam. That's sufficient. To tell you in another way, Srila Prabhupada has one disciple named Pradyumna. And sometimes Prabhupada used to jokingly call him, "Hey Panditji, So Pradyumna slowly became an erudite Sanskrit scholar. And when you hear Prabhupada's lectures, you hear one devotee at the beginning reading the verse. Reading the verse like that, and sometimes the translation of the purport, you hear his voice. His name is Pradyumna. Prabhupada liked him. He's famous devotee, he's an Iskandist. So, one time, Pradyumna, because he knows Sanskrit, he can read Sanskrit and read the commentaries of the previous acharyas and so forth like that. So one time Pradyumna was carrying one heavy book underneath his arm. He was carrying one book like that. So Prabhupada says, come in. Like that. So what is that book? Okay. So Pradyumna was explaining, I forget what the book was, but he was explaining. But this is the Sanskrit commentaries of the previous acharyas. I'm getting it could be like, you know, say Govinda Lilamrita. And that is not Maya, but that's not Vedanta, that's like gotta do with the topmost features of pure devotional service. You heard of Govinda Lilamrita? That sense. So Prabhupada told him, if you read that book, you will fall down. Because he had the Sanskrit commentaries like that, but he did not get permission and blessings from Prabhupada. He said, there's no need. I have given you all my commentaries. I have given you Bhaktivedanta purpose. That's enough. But Pradyumna was inclined, no, to reading Sanskrit and commentaries and so forth. Okay. So he didn't understand what Prabhupada said. And he was confused. He said, Prabhupada is saying that if I read the commentaries of the previous acharyas, I will fall down. What does he mean by that? So, you know, after Prabhupada left, he discussed it with his Godbrother. So then he came to the conclusion that Prabhupada meant that you will fall down indicates that you will become more learned than your spiritual master. That's a fall down. You know, you become better than your, you know better than your spiritual master. That is a fall down. That is a worse fall down than breaking the regulative principle. So he came to that conclusion. So then he said he quietly put these Sanskrit books away. And he just started to Bhaktivedanta Prabhupada. So we have to be careful of that type of fall down. We have seen devotees, even living in Vrindavan and other places, Jagannath Puri. They become very scholarly and learned, and they know better than the Bhaktivedanta Prabhupada. That is a fall down. And sometimes they leave ISKCON and they start their own institutes. Understand? It's a fall down. To become a more learned scholar than you are, than your spiritual master, than the disciples and such. So in the same way, we should be cautious of not entering into Vedanta Sutra, verses themselves, trying to glean something, because everything Prabhupada has given us. And did you know the best Vedanta Sutra is which book? Srimad Bhagavatam is a commentary on Vedanta. Which is the best Vedanta Sutra? That's a commentary. Govinda Bhai says Balade Vidya Bhushan. No, we're not talking about the commentary. The best Vedanta Sutra is Bhagavad Gita as it is. there's verses to the effect in the Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada comments on it in this book. Bhagavad Gita gives you everything. It gives you a summary of Vedanta Sutra. The best Vedanta Sutra is Bhagavad Gita as it is. So if we just stick to Bhagavad Gita as it is, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and the books of the Goswamis that Prabhupada has given us, that neck of instruction, neck of devotion, and so forth, are you okay? It is sufficient to take you out of this material world and back to this world. It is more than sufficient. Prabhupada one time was asked, can you explain Krishna book? So Prabhupada said, Krishna book is ras, or relationship, intertwined with philosophy. And Prabhupada said, just by reading this one book, Krishna book, you will go back home, back to Godhead. You will go back to Goloka. Just by reading that one book, Krishna book. Because it's very nicely intertwined with relationships of Krishna, with Krishna intertwined with philosophy. So you won't misunderstand. And this is cream, this is 10th canto. Prabhupada can give us the highest rasa, the highest relationships with Krishna, in such a way that we will not misunderstand. And that's the Krishna book. Still make advancement. Okay. Other questions?
Thank you very much, Maharaj. Just from the verse we saw, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was listening to Sarvam Bhattacharya speaking. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was listening to Sarvam Bhattacharya speaking Mayavad Bhashya.
He wasn't speaking Mayavad. His conclusion was monism.
But sometimes our preaching, and specifically when we are trying to approach some influential people in the society, be it some managerially administrative influential people or some professors or scholars in the university, and we deal with them and they are senior in age, senior in post, when we talk to them, they also speak some sort of Mayavad or some mixed philosophy.
Yeah, but the nice thing about Mayavad philosophy is that you won't understand anything, so it's okay. You follow what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did. Because you want to engage this person in devotional service, right?
Yes.
You want him to give some money so you can give him some books, make him a patron or life member. Isn't it? And then you give him some prasad and he will accept. Or prasad, like that. He'll become purified. But at the same time, he's stuck with his family guru. Guru, he is stuck with the impersonalist philosophy. So he may say something, and you can say yes, yes, yes. And when you say yes, yes, he is thinking that you are understanding, but you don't understand anything. That's fine. Same thing Mahaprabhu did. He just listened silently. But when he asked, you understand, he said, no, he said the truth. But these people won't ask you. These people just like to talk to you, you know. I'm also learning, you are a devotee and you know philosophy. I also know. And these rascal people, you know, you quote one verse from Bhagavad Gita, they'll quote two verses. They also know some verses. Right? Bhagavad Gita. And then they'll tell you, yes, we know Krishna from birth. And it's as if Krishna is his next door neighbor. It's so over familiar, you know. So we go along with that, but somehow we engage them. You take these books, and if you have time, you read, although you know Krishna, but it's nice books you read. So what's your question?
Sanskrit.
Sanskrit.
Thank you very much.
You follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You should hear, but at the same time you are not hearing. And even if you hear and try to figure out, you won't understand. That's fine. Be protected. Because impersonalism, Mayavadi philosophy is no philosophy. There's nothing that you can make out of it. It's okay? But be careful. You have to be careful that they do not invite you to meet their guru. That's one thing. Because the guru has a potency of renunciation. For renunciation he has, because they renounce people, the powerful people. And Prabhupada says in one purport that they are empowered by the illusory energy to bewilder people. They are empowered by Maya. And therefore they are called, we call them Mayavadis. They are empowered by the illusory energy. Therefore they are Mayavadis. And they can change someone's faith who's soft and pliable. Like Kanista. If you're not fixed in Krishna consciousness, your faith can change. The powerful people. So avoid hearing from their guru. See, there's jnani. A jnani accumulates knowledge for its own sake. He likes to become more and more knowledge. Usually a jnani, the popular word in India is a panditji. Like if you want to, if you don't know anything, they'll tell you, go and ask panditji. And then they'll tell you, go and ask, he's learned, he's scholar. So that's a jnani. A jnana yogi is a person by dint of his austerity, comes to understand the Paramatma. A jnani, by his knowledge, he comes to understand that the end is Brahman. Everything ends in nothing. But a jnana yogi comes to understand the Paramatma in the heart. It's okay? And a jnana misra bhakti gets this association of a devotee, and because his devotional service is mixed with jnana, still, he'll become purified of the jnana side and then come to finally to bhakti. So, higher than a jnani is a jnana yogi. And higher than a jnana yogi is a jnana misra bhakta. And then they get purified and become a full level.
Jnana yogi is as good as dhyana yogi.
Huh?
Like he's a small dhyana yogi also. Dhyana yogi, but dhyana yogi also.
A jnana yogi is tantamount to sometimes performing a sangha yoga. And his ultimate conclusion is Paramatmavadi. He's a Paramatmavadi. So what is a Brahmavadi, Paramatmavadi, and a devotee? He becomes a devotee eventually. We do this in a course called Yoga Ladders. This course takes a long time.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you, Maharaj, for the wonderful explanation.
Just one more thing. Gyani, in the category of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, his conclusion is Brahman, but he's called a Brahmavadi. And a Brahmavadi is not envious of the Supreme Lord. He's not envious. He's on one level of transcendence. Brahman, Paramatman, Bhagavan. He's not envious of devotees. He's not envious of devotees. So therefore there's a chance for him to come to devotional service because he's open to it. He's not envious. But a Mayavadi, no, is rustic. A Mayavadi wants to kill the personality of God. He wants to kill the personal form. So therefore one should not associate with that. So therefore Prabhupada says in the Purport, Mayavadi basa sunile haya sarvanash. But not a Brahmavadi. In that sense. Sometimes these terms are interchangeably used by Prabhupada, but there is a distinct difference also. In my experience, just to give you examples of Mayavadis and Brahmavadis in India, so it becomes more clear for you. Like the sannyasis of the Ramakrishna mission are Mayavadis. But the sannyasis of the Divine Life Society coming from Swami Shivananda, and they have the base in Rishikesh, is from South. They are Brahmavadis. They are not envious of devotees. They even chant Hare Krishna, they like devotees. And usually the Brahmavadi, he doesn't really preach, he doesn't convince you to follow him. But the Mayavadi is trying to convince you to follow him. So in my experience in India and in other places, the Mayavadis, sannyasis are like the Ramakrishna people. And the Brahmavadi sannyasis are like the Divine Life Society. You heard of Divine Life Society? The founder is Swami Shivananda. They are Brahma. They are not envious. So just to give you two examples. Of course, most of the sannyasis in India are all Mayavadis. Most of them. Okay.
Thank you, Maharaj, for explanation. Maharaj, as you said, and I've experienced that also, Maharaj, that if during the course of our preaching, if we meet a person who has some Mayavadi concept, and although we may go to preach him, or although we may go for, say, distribution of our books or making him a pattern member, if we argue, there is no point. He will never be convinced, and he will not take that books also or become a member also. So there is no point.
Yeah.
And I've experience this also very nicely. They're happy in their own self and they'll take books also and perform devotional service.
Yeah.
What should we do, Maharaj, in this situation which I have underwent, that I met one of our acquaintances, that he's a devotee, comes to temple. But he also has follows a person who is a Mayavadi guru. He is inclined to us also and he's inclined to them also. And one situation, both of us were together with him. I went there to meet him and his guru was also there, God Mayavadi concept. So in such a situation, what should we ever stand? If we take a humble position like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did when he was going to Prakashman Saraswati or in case of Sarvam Bhattacharya, then that becomes, they take it as their own victory. And now he is taking a humble position. And they may overcome. So should we engage in an argument and put our stand, or should we avoid that situation? Or because if you don't do, he gets influenced by that person. You're saying they try to.
A preacher avoids Mayavadis and atheists. doesn't preach to them.
How to save that person, Maharaj? Because
don't worry about saving the person, save yourself. The person is only being saved by being introduced to Krishna consciousness. He is favorable. He has the books, he gets Mahaprasad, that's sufficient. The moment you tell him, don't follow this other guru, he'll tell you, get out of my office. Right? He will tell you, oh, you're stopping me from following my guru. My father followed him, my grandfather followed him, I'm also following. What's wrong with you? But what he was following was nothing. He just has a sentiment. I'm sentimental. So do not tell somebody not to follow the guru. You just try to give them Krishna consciousness. The moment you tell them, then they'll close the door on you. Then you can't go anymore. Just keep it open. Especially in India. Prabhupada used to say, these Mayavadis in India, eventually they'll, you know, everything is like impersonalism. It ends in nothing, voidism. But Prabhupada used to say, just to get followers, they will tell the followers, you can become God. That's a nice proposition. And then they get money from the followers. You are God, you become God. Right? And then Prabhupada said, yes, they have a God in every street corner in India. Everyone's God in every street corner in India. Such a rasa. Yes, the time is up, so we have to. We have one more question we can take. Yes. Give microphone to Mataji.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you so much for the wonderful lecture. My question is, like in family and around us, there are people who are following Krishna and all other demigods. How do we categorize them and how to handle them or preach to them if possible?
You see, when you have family and friends, the foremost relationship is one of attachment. That, you know, you're my mother, father, husband, wife, son, daughter. The relationship is not based on demigod worship or based on impersonalism. It's based on family relationship. Isn't it? So you keep the family relationship, but don't be influenced by the religious affiliation. Because generally they're more attached to the family and like that. So you keep that. And when you keep that, then you can introduce them to Krishna consciousness gradually. You know, they are not concerned. You know, it's like such a boring and laborious and you know, mechanical stuff, you know. Like, you know, they'll tell you, our family deity is Durga. Right? So my great-grandfather worshipped Durga and grandmother, you should also worship Durga. They know that you are just being obliging to them. You're not into it. Okay, let's go for the puja, Durga puja. So you just go out of some family obligation and duty. They know that you're not into it. But you have to fulfill some family obligation and duty. So therefore we have to introduce Krishna consciousness to them gradually, because that will give them some juice, give them some ras, some real taste which is actually spiritual. And then they become attached. Oh, I'm experiencing something different here. Not the laborious mechanical pujas that are going on, doing it out of some social obligation or religious duty. People are bored. They don't know better, so therefore they have some guru who will come to some yajna. You know? But actually the family guru is their servant. is not guru. He is paid by them. You are employed by us. So you know, we have to change that to one of devotion. So the fruit of mentality has to come out. Fruit of gain. And Krishna consciousness genuinely works. You can say it genuinely works. Just have to keep them open to it somehow. And eventually, in due course of time, it will penetrate the heart and consciousness. Is that okay? Alright, we'll stop for now. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Ananta Kodi Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Natayago Prayabana.